Everybody, episode 538 of RP Grinders. I'm your host, Frank Branches, alongside my trusty cohorts, Eric the Great, Breakman the Bold. Gentlemen, as my phone rings, how are you?
Better than I was last week.
Hello. Yeah.
This is a great show.
Oh, I hate it when people
wait. Are we doing a telethon?
We are doing a telethon. Hey, hello. This is RP Grinders. How much money do you want to donate today? I should do that every call that comes in here. You
they would respond with, "This is your bill collector." Oh shit!
I'd be like, "Oh,
wrong number.
Wrong number." Click, and then that'd be it. And then they'd call back, and I'd be sad. But there you go. All right, gentlemen. I'm still riding the high of Avengers. I don't know about you guys. I've been thinking about that movie quite a bit all week. Pretty fucking good. Pretty fucking good.
I don't believe you. When you said you're riding the high of Avengers, I believe you're riding the high of Mary Jane.
I'll have you know that every Friday I do not smoke until after the show. And tonight, I will not smoke.
Did the Hulk give you like a stash?
A green stash. That would be. That's his new new personality. The green stash. Yeah, I wish, man, that'd be sweet. Okay. Lots on the agenda today, but after the show, I will be doing. If the turnout is okay, I will be doing a Grinder dance party. Theme is going to be paranormal. If nobody shows up, I'll just wait till next week and do it next week. But should be fun.
Nobody was here last week. What's that? What the hell?
Yeah, nobody was here. Like I
The Green Stash's orange story is that like Bruce Banner wanted to take control of the Hulk, so he convinced the Hulk to come out and then offered him some weed.
Yeah, basically. And then the Hulk can't stop smoking weed, so he never comes out because he's never angry. That's how it works, man. That's how it works. So yeah, it's going to be an interesting week this week. We got, of course, the usual news and a lot of people pissed off at the offerings that PlayStation has been offering lately on their PlayStation Plus. I'll be talking a little bit about that later. Avengers spoilers later, so be prepared for that when we get. We're actually going to hold that until the free-for-all. We're going to have a huge free-for-all today. We're going to be talking about Crunch in video games, and we're also going to be talking Avengers, and also we will be talking about our upcoming, you know, movies we're looking forward to in the summer. And there, I've got a list of movies, and I'm going to have you guys do a yay or nay kind of session on it. I thought there were way more releases in the summer that were going to be awesome, but I think Avengers kind of took the wind out of everything's sail, because I look the list of movies, and it's not super impressive. There's a couple of titles that we'll get to. But anyways, without further ado...
Hulk Crunch.
Yeah.
There we go.
Without further ado, let's do this.
RPG News.
All right, Eric, let's start with the first story.
The first story is from RP Gamer, or RPG Site, sorry. This is Azure Lane Crosswave. It's coming west in 2020. And let's see. Doesn't have any real date, but the Japanese version is set to release on August 29th. So I'm going to say it's about a 6-month gap.
Okay. That sounds fair. You looking forward to this, Eric?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean... it's got to be better than the mobile game, at least. At least in terms of gameplay.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So that's something to look forward to, I guess. I'm sure Breakman, I mean, being that he doesn't even own a PS4, is really looking forward to this one. I'm going to shame you into getting a PlayStation at some point, Break. Maybe you'll wait till the PlayStation 5. Because the PlayStation 5, you can play PlayStation 4 games. That'd be pretty sweet. I'm
especially if they sell it at the same price point as they did.
Oh man, they do that. It's all I'm all in.
Like they sell it at the same price they did for 4 at launch, and then they drop the price of the 4 in case like you're on a budget.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, just make the 4 Pro the default 4, and like make it like $300.
Yeah, drop the price in half, and you'd have a winner there. I mean, Sony's doing it right. I really hope their price point is
that would be 200 then.
If their price point is 600 or less, that's going to be really hard to beat, man. Like that's going to be awesome. Plus the specs on that. Anyways, that's a different show. We'll talk about that next week. Breakman, next story, please.
Coming to us live from I loaded a screenshot and for whatever reason took 5 hours to load. coming to us live from RPG site. Bloodstained Ritual of the Night set to release in late June. 505 Games and ArtPlay has announced that Bloodstained Ritual of the Night release on June 18th for PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. Alongside the release date, 505 Games also released a new somewhat silly trailer showcasing all the changes the game has gone through since its conception. Find the trailer and stuff below.
You missed the part where you said the Switch is coming out.
What part was that? I don't see that. Doesn't say
it's
Switch.
Right there.
Oh, it says while the Switch release will follow on June 25th. Okay, I see it.
Oh, sorry.
That's right.
Bloodstained Ritual of the Night is set in 18th century England. A paranormal force has summoned a demon-infested castle, revealing crystal shards infused with tremendous magical power. Players take on the role of Miriam, an orphan scarred by an alchemist curse, which slowly crystallizes her body. Well, that sucks. To save humanity and herself, Miriam must fight through the castle while collecting, crafting, and unlocking a vast array of weapons, equipment, and loot to defeat the summoner Gebel and the countless minions and bosses of hell that await.
There's some bullet points there, Break, that I'll let you get to in a second here, but I watched the trailer before we started the show. This is a fantastic trailer. I'll tell you why this is a great, great trailer for this game, Bloodstained. Everybody's been anticipating this game like no other. It's obviously going to do really well.
Been criticizing it.
Right. It's
you get sad.
It's obviously going to do really well. The problem was with the art style. I saw the criticisms, and then the trailer kind of went through that, you know, and then
Internet also being shitty.
Right, but I think they had a point with this particular game, and I'll tell you why they had a point, Eric. At first, I was kind of underwhelmed when I saw the early, you know, beginnings of this game, but slowly, as I saw more of the game, it just became better and better, culminating with this trailer, which showed you kind of the old tech that they were using along with the new kind of art style. And I think it's a huge, big, great difference. I think it's
my perfect. Only... The setback for this new art style is that the Switch version's frame rate is going to suffer because of it.
No.
Now it's going to be at least the update I got from my backers, the thing basically implied that when it hits at launch, it'll be at 30. So they sound like they're working on improving the frame rate.
It looks really good, man. I don't know. The art style, like, I was concerned. I'm no longer concerned. It looks really good. It looks polished now.
I wasn't even concerned back then. It just looks better now.
I wasn't really concerned back then. I did have kind of a, like, a, it looked a little bland to me. But I think if you go back and listen to us talk about it, I was pretty confident that it would be polished pretty well. Because these games always are. I mean, they usually are. So it looks fantastic. I know everybody's going to play it. I'm hoping that I can get a copy. I just don't know which system. I'm probably PS4 because I play a lot of PS4.
I need to contact 505 to see if I can get a PS4 code because the Switch version I picked was for a physical release, and those usually don't get shipped out the same day the game launches.
Yeah, maybe so you can get a digital copy on the PS4. That'd be
plus,
great.
I'd like to reference, like, the build quality of that versus that, so I could actually use it in a review.
Yeah.
So all right. I think you can play the game fine, but
yeah. Did you?
But with this graphical update, I'm not sure I want to do that, and my PC might not be able to handle it anymore.
Yeah, Brake, did you want to go over the? Did you want to go over the?
Meh.
Okay. Let's move on then to the next story. This comes to us from RPG site. Trails of Cold Steel 2 lands on PlayStation 4 in June. There's no exact date. Oh, it's June 4th in North America and June 7th in Europe and Australia. Sequel's re-release will include features previously found in the 2018 PC version, such as a turbo mode and additional voice English dialogue, and will also offer the Japanese audio track as well. That's a nice little touch. So it'll be $49.99, which I think might be a slightly too much.
I love turbo modes. Anything that can speed up, even though you would probably enjoy the battle system, after you've been playing it for like hundreds of hours, isn't like it a fast forward feature so much nicer?
Well, the game already has a skip animations button, but this will just make getting through like the field areas faster.
Oh, this is interesting. Thank God.
Yeah, I like that.
This is interesting. The digital edition on the PS Store is going to be $39.99. I like that.
Yeah. But, like, I think the $50 for the physical release is a little bit more justifiable than charging $50 for two old PS2 games.
Yeah.
Square. That yeah. One of which is only a digital copy that's locked to the fucking cartridge. But shame on you, Square US.
Yeah, I know, man. They've got so many issues when it comes to being fan-friendly, man. They really do.
Square Europe screwed fans by doing that.
They always do, man. Square has a...
Now you can't resell the game without, I mean, like, you can sell the game, but you can only sell the first game, and you won't be able to play the second one.
Yeah, Square has a long history of fucking over its fans, man. I still don't know to this day why they're as big as they are.
The ideal way of getting, that's only for the Switch version, though. The ideal way of playing the game for the Switch is to just buy the Japanese or the Asian copies, and then, based on your region settings, it'll pick English text.
Yeah.
Strangely, the only way to get Japanese voice acting is to play the game entirely in Japanese by setting your region Japanese, which is dumb.
Yeah. It's got a nifty...
I complained about that with Breath of the Wild, and Nintendo eventually put out a patch that let you select the language.
It's got a nifty limited edition. I'm guessing it's a day one edition with a steelbook case, a pin, soundtrack selection CD, which
actually, it's the only edition of the game that's coming out.
Okay, well, there you go. So it's not special.
I'm principal actually do, though. It sounds like they're only going to do this one print, and that's it.
Wow. So get that one while you can, I guess is the moral of the story there. It'll be there digitally. I think that's, you know.
It has everything to do with the fact that Falcom basically screwed over Xseed by going to NISA. And it's like, I guess they are contractually allowed to do this release because they did previous ones.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on to the next story. Who did I do this one? I think I did this one. Eric, next story, please.
Next story. And then Xseed might do a reprint on this game. It just won't have that stuff. But we don't know anything yet. But next story is Toho Huyu Ibana, Antimony of Common Flowers. These Toho games have the weirdest names.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a fighting game, and it's releasing on PS4, and it's also headed to Switch. And it looks like it's a 2D fighting game rather than the weird 3D arena-based fighter that reminded me of Virtual On, only it was not nearly as fun as that game.
Yeah, it looks interesting. I couldn't parcel...
I played another fighting game variety, but that was also like a fighting game in the sense of a Seko no Ron, where you're actually just playing a shmup, but you're just fighting against other opponents in the... like. In a shmup setting.
Yeah, Breakman is exiled, by the way. Son of a bitch. You don't think I'm watching chat, you son of a bitch.
That one's a bunch of fun.
Yeah.
Bullet Ballet. That's the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah, this game, I tried to watch some of this before the show. It's an hour and a half long, talking about this game.
It must have been a stream or something.
It was a stream, but I'm like looking at it, and it, nothing is super compelling. Even the fighting aspect of this game wasn't, you know...
Like it's probably just more for like super diehard fans of the franchise.
It does look like a diehard fan type deal. So there you go. All right, break. Next story, you son of a bitch.
What? I don't know what you're referring to at all. What are you talking about? Coming to us live from Silicon Era, Final Fantasy 14 owners can temporarily get Heavensward expansion for free. Heavensward?
Or Heavensward.
Heavensward.
Yeah, Heavensward.
Oh, Heavensward. Okay, I'm sorry. I read that wrong.
I'm waiting for the Hemsworth edition myself, but, you know.
But The weird thing is you can also get Final Fantasy XI for free, or 14 for free, but for a limited time. So you can get that and this expansion for free, but you can't do it through Steam. You have to do it through some other means. I forget what it was.
PlayStation. So is it just the online, I mean just the PC version, not the PlayStation 4? Okay.
No, if you own the base game, you can get this for free.
This goes until June 27th, but I was talking about owning the base game, like Eric was saying.
Yeah. On the PlayStation, I think it's like $20, and you can get the Ultimate Edition for like $30, which
I was talking about getting the original base game for free, right now, but it's like the non-Steam version.
Oh, yeah, on the PlayStation 4, you still have to pay, but I guess $30. I've been hearing things that $30 for the Ultimate Edition is not a bad way to go with Final Fantasy XIV. It's one of those games that started off really weak and has gotten better and better and better until the point now it's like really good. So, I mean, that's par for the course. Wasn't 11 kind of that way at first? It just kind of sucked and it just slowly got better and better and better. But
I think that's what a lot of the games are coming out, especially Western games now, and nowadays, like they're coming out not complete, basically. But if you wait and you get like the Game of the Year edition, it has all these DLC and all the patches and stuff like that. Usually, you get a pretty great game, you know.
Yeah. Well, MMOs are different though; they're a complete game, and then they just keep putting more stuff.
Yeah,
out.
They keep adding.
Well,
to it.
Technically, I think. Well, I don't know if they still are, but when I was playing WoW, technically they were still in the beta phase.
Yeah.
Because they were in the beta phase for years.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like Final Fantasy XIV and Realm Reborn is, it's like, yeah, I guess technically the original game was a beta, because everybody complained how awful it was, and then they fixed it.
Yeah, they fixed it,
But Realm Reborn is almost completely different game due to the vast amount of changes they made.
See, that's why I kind of have hope for Anthem, but I'm not going to fucking play Anthem until they get way better, and it drops in price, because fuck that. You know, I was excited for it. I was going to buy it, but then it just, I don't know, man. It was, Bernie said Endgame was awesome. Stick around, Bernie. We'll be talking about that later. All right. Let's see. Breakman. I think it's your turn, right? Or is it my turn? Probably my turn.
I think the latest 14 expansion is Stormbringers, but I heard it was not great.
Yeah. All right. This comes to us live from Silicon Era. 8-bit shmup Neptunia Shooter is coming to PC via Steam on May 21st. So Idea Factory announced the 8-bit shmup. That's kind of weird.
Lazy shorthand for just pixel graphics.
Yeah. So it started out as an April Fool's joke, but I guess it got enough steam to become its own thing. So the key features are shmup it up, progress through 6 8-bit shmup it up.
I'm sorry, that's funny to me.
Inspired shoot 'em
they
up.
Better have a Gradius reference in the game at some point.
I'm sure they will. Who will claim victory with Steam Online leaderboards? Bullet Hell fans everywhere can now stake claim as the best Neptunia shooter player in this dimension. Challenge your friends, blah, blah, blah. Choose your ammunition. Broadcast your skills. So there you go. It's a cutesy little shmup. Looks okay. I played the trailer. All right, Eric, what do we got next?
I think the game is free, but
I would
it doesn't say anything about price. It would have mentioned if there was.
I'm not going to make that assumption, man. Nothing is free.
Either free or just incredibly cheap.
Yeah, like a couple bucks, $5 or less.
Like $5 or something.
Yeah. All right, Eric.
$5 to $10.
Yeah.
But next story is Wonder Boy. The Dragon's Trap is coming to mobile on May 30th. And let's see. But I think it says it's Android and Apple iOS devices, and they'll sell it for $9. I'm glad it's not just $10, but it's also a weird price point either way.
Yeah,
it's like let's sell something for $9.
Yeah, that's I don't know, man. I mean, it looks okay. Looks fine. Art style looks
a game like this on mobile, an action game.
On mobile, not so much.
That was clearly designed for controllers.
on mobile, not so much. If this was on PS4,
if you have one, I guess you could play it that way.
Yeah,
but...
yeah. schmuck
well, here,
it up.
Here, let me ask you one question. This will decide whether I get this game or not.
Sure.
Does Jack Black do the voice acting?
No.
No, there is no voice acting, but you can get it on the Xbox.
So what the hell does this have to do with the D?
Good Dragon point. Trap. Good point, I'm out. My friend.
I'm
good.
Out.
He just dropped his mic right there. Good point, man. All right.
I don't know what you're talking about. The D. I don't know what you're talking about.
There's a song of theirs called Wonder Boy.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. All right, man. Breakman next door.
You could pretend that the pig character is Jack Black.
I guess.
That won't work. Yeah. Coming to us live from Silicon Valley. Root Letter, Last Answer sends its West. Wait, what? Root Letter, Last Answer sends its way westward for PS4, Switch, and Steam in 2014. Publisher P-Cube at Games announced it's bringing their game to Steam, PS4, and Switch. It adds a new live-action mode and new scenarios. The return of the best-selling interactive mystery visual novel, following the footsteps of Aya Fumino, a school pen friend allegedly involved in a tragic murder 15 years ago. Explore the prefecture of Shemaine, uncover clues, and use the letters you wrote to each other to track down your childhood friends for questioning. But perhaps these friends, not adults living a peaceful life, will not be eager to let your painful memories resurface because they are asshole friends.
Yes.
As for what's new in Last Answer, it has a variety of gameplay improvements as well as brand new epilogues that conclude Aya Fumino's story. In other words, people complain that they didn't get enough in the ending. Like, that ending sucked.
I
didn't know Mass Effect 3. The main attraction.
This isn't a re-release. This is a sequel. But, just let people know.
Okay, that's cool. The main attraction is the new live-action mode, which players can choose to turn on at the title screen at any time to check out the game in live-action scenes.
Oh, I like that. That's actually a nice
touch.
That's
interesting.
It is a revamp. Never mind.
It's a nice touch. That's a really nice touch, I think.
I have the original one on the Vita. I should probably sell it now. I never got around to playing it.
Yeah, there you go, man. Sell it. Anything else on this break?
No, we don't have a release date sometime this year. The game is available in Japan already. The original is available on PS4, PS Vita, PC, iOS, and Android. Hey, what's a Vita?
Yeah, exactly.
Something Sony forgot about.
What is this Vita that you keep talking about? All right, guys, it's time for...
I don't think so.
Eric, you just...
Sony's terrible with their products. They really are. Mm-hmm.
You just ruined my soundbite. Let's do it again.
Fuck
your soundbites, Bacon, you son of a bitch. Second time it was ruined. I'm not doing it again. Son of a bitch, man. First it's talking about my junk, and now it's fucking up my soundbites. Wait till your soundbite starts, man. I'm gonna fuck it up for you. All right, homie discounts. A real quick bitchy rant from me. The games for PlayStation Plus this month are Overcooked and What Remains of Edith Finch. What Remains of Edith Finch is a pretty damn good walking simulator. So it's another Norman Reedus deal, Breakman. So
what remains of her? Like, is it her skeleton or... Did they find, like, pieces of fingers or something like that?
You'd have to play the game. You'd have to play the game for sure. But I'm disappointed, man. And this is a disturbing trend with Sony, man. Like, their PlayStation Plus, there's really going to be no real reason for me to get PlayStation Plus when I have to...
Like, the only time I use Plus now is to play games with, like, online components like Dark Souls.
Yeah, it's becoming more and more hard to justify paying for PlayStation Plus unless you're getting it on the cheap, because their offerings are sucking. Like, last month it was Conan and The Surge. Who gives a shit about those games? This month it's fucking Edith Finch, which I like. I bought it for $5, though. So They're giving you a $5 game and Overcooked, which I think you can get for $5 to $7.
If you want to compete with Game Pass, you got to do better, Sony.
You really do, man. You got to, I mean, at least, like, the month before was a pretty good month. I think it was, like, Call of Duty, Advanced Warfare, and, like, some other fucking, you know, AAA game.
Call of Duty, Warfare, that's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a couple of good games the previous month, but 2 months in a row, so I did a tweet to PlayStation, which I know they never fucking look at, but I was like, look, you guys got to step it up because Xbox is offering 4 games still. 4 games, and they don't even have a handheld to, you know, do, and most of their games are backwards compatible. So you're getting 4 games over on Xbox. You're getting 2 shitty quality games. If the games were like, you know, like AAA quality. Well, like,
I mean, Overcooked might be fun, but... And
it looks fun.
Edith Finch might be fun, but it's just these two.
Edith Finch is a great game. I played it. It's a great fucking game, but it's a fucking walking simulator. Anybody can play that.
That game's also coming to Switch at some point, so it's like, just wait.
It's a really good game. It's a great game. Like, I highly recommend downloading it and playing it all the way through. And probably Overcooked is a great game too, but it's not. It's not one of those games that you're just going to sit there and play forever, especially if you don't have anybody to sit with you and play local co-op.
I think it might have been an Xbox One free game gold.
Yeah, there you go. So, you know, the Xbox is... the problem I have with the Xbox is they really haven't been giving you AAA titles.
It's at the Epic Game Store.
They haven't been giving you, like, the best of titles, but at least you get 4 titles every month on Xbox. So the value is there with the Xbox, not so much anymore with PlayStation. You were able to get, like, certain games that were, you know, cross-buy with the PlayStation 4 and that system that nobody knows, the Vita. But now they took that out, and they took the PS3 game out, so...
Last month was awful. It was like Conan Exiles and The Surge.
I mentioned that. The Surge and Conan Exiles, which are okay games, I guess, but not anything super special. So the deals on PlayStation Store aren't that great, although they do have some. Let me go through quickly and tell you guys what you guys would be interested in, RPG-wise or...
Golden Week sale.
Yeah, it's the Golden Week sale still, so you can still, you know... get some of those type of games. I'm trying to look and see. There was a couple of titles that I was semi interested in, but nothing super.
So watch next week. They have a Cinco de Mayo.
Oh my god! If they did that, I would fucking right.
Even though Cinco de Mayo was on Sunday and not the rest of the week.
Yeah. Oh, here's one: Grim Fandango for $4.49. That's actually a really good deal, even though that's an old-ass game. They got Mega Man Legacy Collection. I think that's the first one for $7.49, so I think that's a good deal. Let's see what else here. There was something else. Loco Roco was on sale. Saints Row was on sale. That shitty game Quiet Man's on sale. There was something else that was really, really good that I wanted to share with y'all, but let me see if I can find it. The Dead Rising
game. Don't shit your pants? No.
Yeah, I wish, man. Don't shit your pants.
Why hasn't that been ported yet?
Yeah, I know. Gravity Rush 2 is on sale. That's a great game. I've seen it cheaper, though. It's $13.99 right now, so... Murdered Soul Suspect is on sale. That's actually a steal. It's like $1.99 if you have Plus. So I recommend getting that one. I have that game. Sundered is on sale. Shadow of the Colossus is on sale. That's a great remake. I think that's probably the greatest remake.
How much?
Shadow of the Colossus is $15.99 without Plus. I don't know what it is with Plus. I think it's like $14.99 or $13.99. It's a good price. I mean, even $20 for Shadow of the Colossus is a good price for that game.
I need to find that for like under $20 or $20-ish for the physical release.
Yeah, Shadow of the Colossus is the remake is really good. Come on, I think that's it there. Let's move on to Xbox. Xbox has actually a really good sale. Vampire, which I thought was a little too high at $60 for what you were getting with Vampire, that's down to
$4. It sucks. Don't play it.
No, I think it's worth $15. It's down to $15 now, 75% off. I think that's a good price point for Vampire. Call of Cthulhu, $19.79. I think that's a good price for Call of Cthulhu, normally $60. So getting your monies there. Styx, Shards of Darkness, which if you like stealth, that's the game for you. $12.49, that's a pretty decent price. Divinity Original Sin, an enhanced edition for $10. So Xbox got some pretty good sales this time around. So you're getting some good deals there.
I don't know how long it will be before Divinity Original Sin 2 is on sale.
I'm not sure. Like a fun game. It looks fun. It looks really good. I don't want to play that before I play
the first one. Sounds like it's got a really messed up story.
Yeah, Nintendo
like messed up and is it's completely banana.
Yeah. Wow, Bernie's drinking. I don't know if it's whiskey or whatever. Dungeons in chat. Welcome to chat, Dungeon Buster. He says Surge is actually not bad. Story's fucked up, but decent souls like sci-fi game. So I think I agree with you there. But it's not like striking. You know, it's not like one of those games. Ooh, look at what PlayStation's offering. Like even Call of Duty. Even though I don't play a lot of Call of Duty games, that was like, oh wow, they're offering that. You know, it's like, wow, that's cool. Nintendo's offering some good stuff. Ease 8. Lacrimosa of Donna is $41.99, so that's a good healthy price drop. Lost Child $24.99, down from $49. Fallen Legion Rise to Glory $29.99. Cold Sept Revolt is down to $20 if you're a 3DS fan. There was something else here too. God Wars down to $29.99. Tohu Gensu Wanderer, which we've featured on the show before, $29.99. So that's a good little price drop. Yomiwari, the Long Night Collection, $29.99. Disgaea 1 Complete, you're getting $10 off at $39.99. So Nintendo's kind of getting a little bit better with their sales. So that's nice to see. I'm happy that Nintendo finally is joining the club. They're always late to shit like that. So those are your homie discounts for this week. And now it's time for Dear Break Man, what do we got?
Okay, I like it, but I have to say that's really long.
Yeah, I know. It's long, but it deserves the longness. You deserve.
I don't know. We might have to cut it down a little bit. I'm just making a suggestion here.
How dare you? How dare you? I'll work on it.
I'm starting making suggestions. I'm sorry.
Okay, man. Duly noted. What do we got, Break?
Let's see here. That's from you. That's from you. Does that have nothing to do with that? I'm trying to find ones that aren't from you. These are all from you. Oh, here's one from Freak. For the glory of the Empire, he pooped today, and he sent me the
Did he fight some Titan or something? I know that was a Star Trek reference, but you might as well. attack on the Klingon, I don't know.
Yeah, there you go. All right, what do we got?
Okay, this one's interesting. He sent me in-game spoilers without context, and these are pictures of different shows or ads and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And the first picture is Fat Mac from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, who, for if people don't watch the show, there was one season where he gained weight, and everybody was calling him Fat Mac, and nobody really understood why he gained weight. Like, he, in his own warped mind, it made sense, but for nobody else, it was like, what the fuck are you doing? The second picture is and I can't go into spoilers, but I know exactly what those first two are referencing. The second picture is of some guy wearing boxer briefs as American flags. He's got the American flag on his ass. And the next picture is Sailor Moon and her what do you call her? The sidekicks?
I have no idea. I've never seen an episode.
I know, Eric.
Chibiusa?
No, the four other sailors.
The Sailor Senshi.
Okay, thank you.
Sailor Soldiers.
Okay, and then there's...
Fuck the whole Scouts thing. That's a dub thing.
Oh, okay. I don't know. Oh, I think I do know what he's referencing there. And then an old man on a bench, and obviously we know what he's talking about there if we've seen the movie. So, yeah, so I've explained pictures to people. Let me see, that one's from Eric. Let's move up here. Coming to us from Freak again. Wiping my ass with a cactus is better than Dragon Quest VIII.
Exile, even though he's not even in chat right now, you son of a bitch.
That sounds horrifying to use a cactus on your ass.
Hey, you got to do what you got to do if you're out in the desert wilderness. You know, what are you going to do? Wipe your ass with sand?
Yes.
No, you're not going to wipe your
ass. Rather than a cactus.
You're going to get all over your hand.
Or you cut up all those needles and then you wipe your butt.
That's even more. But what if you don't have like a knife?
Maybe like wipe your ass like a dog. Drag your ass on the ground. Hold your cheeks apart and
just kind of. You know, have you ever seen Cheech and Chong Nice Dreams, Breakman?
Yes, of course. Yes.
Okay, you know the scene when he's like in his straight jacket and he's like my balls itch, and he's like trying to like scratch his balls by like going like a dog, like that's the picture I got of you doing that in the desert. Jesus Christ. What else we got, man?
Okay, this one comes from Bernie. Okay, Mom 2 remembered. I guess you guys were talking about something.
She had a question for us and she forgot it, but she remembered.
I wish she'd forgotten. kidding.
Breakman's on fire today, man. Breakman is on fire. Go ahead, Break.
Okay, say you were in an airplane crash over the Rockies in the middle of winter, and you've eaten all the airplane food, and there's a wounded passengers. Would you become cannibalistic, Mom 2?
This is easy.
What do you mean become?
This is easy. Yeah, I mean, Breakman's already a cannibal. You didn't know that. So, you know, that's easy for Breakman. Breakman busting out. Breakman would be eating on my ass faster than anybody, man.
Anybody got ketchup?
He'd be fucking bringing out the forks, taking big old chunks out of my ass, man. Like, yeah, Breakman for sure. This interesting.
We've only been stranded for 1 hour.
Already, Breakman's trying to eat my ass, man. Get out of here, you son of a bitch. Interesting question. Nobody can honestly answer that, right? Because nobody's been in that situation. But if you look at history, I think we've had one or two instances of like real mainstream, you know, desperate situation type things. Yeah, the Alfred Packer
the
thing,
crash, and the Donner gang.
Yeah, the Alfred.
That's
Packer.
The only two thing I can think of. Yeah,
yeah, those are the only two. Like the K9, no, not K9. What is it? K7, I think, is what they called it. The one where, you know, the plane crashed over the.
I know what you're talking about. I don't know.
Yeah, it was a movie, and it was a great movie. And it pretty much happened like they said. Like they had to like take a vote: do we do this or not? You know, and I guess you got to do what you got to do. The only problem is like if you're up in the Rockies and it's snowing and you know it's that type of situation. Like the cold would force you. I mean, to eat it raw. That's the problem. You know, that would be the whole, ooh, that would be really tough for me, man. I mean, I guess if you
eat and get sick and then try to survive through that or die quicker, I don't know.
Yeah, that's the whole dilemma, man. I mean, those people did survive on that plane like that.
I think I'd rather die than turn into a cannibal. Cause
I would honestly probably die trying to get away.
Well,
trying to
look,
climb down the mountain or whatever. Like,
you say that.
That
you say that, but if you can't, you can't. Like when those guys were stuck on that plane, they knew that if they left, it was a death sentence. There was no way that the weather wouldn't allow. Like they just could not do it. Like there was no.
No, but I'm saying once I lost my Wi-Fi, like I'd be desperate to get back to society.
Maybe the Wi-Fi would be a good good thing for you to a good incentive to for you to hurry your ass and get someplace with Wi-Fi, man. No, look, nobody knows what they would do in times of desperation. Okay, so that's my answer to the whole thing.
That's
like
true.
I think I want to say that I would not do it no matter what, but you never. Ever know the Donner Party? Same thing. They had to do what they had to do. I mean, that was how they would survive. That crew that was on that plane. The only way that they were going to survive, they couldn't move anywhere. They couldn't get to safety. The only thing they could do was fucking take chunks out of their mates. And but they discussed it before. You know, they had all discussed it. Hey, if we run out of food and we got nothing left, I mean, I take my body. One of the guys was heroic when he said that. He's like, look. You know, history won't judge you for, you know, doing what you did, but history judge you would judge you if you didn't do what you had to do, you know? So, and they did it. They, you know, and they survived, and I give them props. I don't know if I could do the same thing, especially in that manner, eating it raw. No way. You know how like you eat certain foods at people's houses, you have no idea what it is, but it tastes really good, and they tell you, and you're like, oh my God, I just ate such and such. That's how I would look at it.
You ate a personsicle.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
You've watched Naked and Afraid. You've seen those people. They get on there, and after like 10 days of starvation, they're pretty much willing to eat anything.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. Like, you have no idea what your mind's going to do, too. I mean, I remember stories of my, you know, what my dad was saying when he was crossing the border. Desperation. You know, he mm-hmm. said he would rather die of being lit on fire, which he was at one point, and that's how, yeah, than to die of thirst. So, you know, desperate times call for desperate measures, man. You'll do fucking anything at a certain point. So, I want to say no, but who knows, man? My mind might take me to different places. And then, you know, I would hope that people wouldn't judge me after the fact if that was the only way that, and I didn't murder somebody. You know what I'm saying? So it's a good question. Anything else, Brake?
That's it.
All right. So shorten the soundbite is what I got from that segment.
That's what you want, cannibalism segment.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right, well, let's move on.
Inquiring minds want to know.
Inquiring minds want to know what you've been playing, Breakman.
Nothing new. Mostly the pre-sequel, Borderlands pre-sequel.
Oh, cool.
Which is still fun. I didn't watch the... a gameplay reveal of Borderlands 3, though.
How dare you? That's shameful. That's really shameful.
I know.
Shameful.
I'm sorry.
Let me get caught up on chat. Bernie says that this story is supposedly going to make us all horny. I don't see how that's going to work, Bernie. But here we go. You go to a swingers club with your wife. You're approached by a porn star that you know from videos. She says, I have approached three couples, and the husbands are allowed to spend 15 minutes with me each. She continued, without the husbands knowing, I asked the wives to pick three men they could spend 15 minutes with. I don't like where this is going, Bernie. I don't know.
Yeah, unless we had worked out our relationship early on that, like, we are allowed to fuck other people, I wouldn't do this.
She's not done yet, though. I get the idea. Like, this is only part of what's going on.
I think there's got to be more. We'll wait for the rest of that story. All right, Eric.
Then again, based on just this, it's spending 15 minutes. They didn't say what they'd be doing.
Yeah. I need more context to that. Oh, here we go. Each man is allowed 5 minutes with each wife as she is blindfolded. I don't know about the blindfolded. After 5 minutes, each of the wives, are they all hot? That's what I gotta ask.
After 5 minutes with each of them? Like, I could just spread it out. I don't need 5 minutes each. Like, are there five of them? That's a minute apiece.
All right, let's just
same time.
Look, I understand this. Okay, here we go.
I'm trying to save time. Here
after, well, you are known as the 1 minute man.
Three people.
Then, so there you go. No,
it's not about that. It's about saving time, man.
After 5 minutes, each of the wives are allowed to pick the man they want to spend half with. I don't even know what the fuck is going on here. Jesus Christ. Okay. Eric, what you been playing?
I've been playing more London Detective Mysteria, a little bit more SteamWorld Quest, not a whole lot though, because I spent most of my time playing Punchline and I got that completed.
Yay.
And I played a little bit more Song of Memories, and I'm going to get back to that this weekend. Maybe. I mean, I might just spend 2 days nonstop wanting as much Code Geass as possible.
Yeah. All right. I haven't been playing too much. I played a little bit of Final Fantasy IX. I really fucked up on Final Fantasy IX. I forgot how to play Final Fantasy IX, and I got up to the point with the four seals. And I've been playing with certain characters, and now I gotta level up my a couple of other characters like Kina. Or Quinoa, as I like to call him, and Adamantium, as I like to call him. I got to level up.
The best thing you could do in that game is have Zidane learn Flea and then steal a whole bunch of shit. Yeah. Not flee. It's like the skill that like does damage based on how often you stolen from the enemies.
Ooh,
it's one of those mug in some games. I don't know if it's mug in 9.
Yeah.
No, it's not the mug skill. It's like a skill that does damage based on how much you've stolen. That's mug is you steal when you attack.
Right. That's what I thought you were saying.
No, he's talking about see, that's a thing. Like, if you equip certain items, you can't do certain things, and I don't know. I'm confused. It's been a long time since I played it.
You learn a skill after you've used it enough.
But, okay. All right.
And then there's the stone system.
Yeah.
That has passive skills. Like, yeah. Extra damage to certain enemy types and
such. Yeah. I have to rethink my playtime with Final Fantasy IX and adjust accordingly, because I tried the first boss on the Four Seals and he just wiped me. So, and I had Zidane and Quinoa.
Hey, isn't that a leech?
It could be, Eric.
I think you need to protect yourself against death attacks.
Yeah, I got to do something because I'm getting my fucking ass walloped, man. That first boss on that Four Seals thing is really, really kicking my ass. But other than that, I played MPQ, of course, and I finally, this has been years in the making, guys, King Oddball. I don't know if you guys remember me talking about this game. It's sort of like a Angry Birds type game, but basically you're just like this rock thing in the air. And you have like a tongue that pendulum swings rocks and you try to kill enemies with. And I finally got every single achievement. There's no platinum achievement on it, which I was highly disappointed in. But I did get all 15 or 16 achievements, which there are a couple in there that's going to take you a long ass time. Like the diamond challenge is it's really challenging. But I fucking did it. And I conquered
all. So you're a rock with a tongue that flings rocks?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, was this an actual game you played, or were you on LSD?
No, this is an actual game. It's called King Oddball, man, and it's a great game. It's a great game.
Swangly Birds is more like it. Yeah.
It's sort of like that. It's sort of like Angry Birds, but I found it a little better. I don't know. I like Angry Birds okay, but this is more of a, you know, it's not a super it's a casual game, but it's not like in the Angry Birds, like you could just pick up for, I mean, you really want to do these challenges and these things. You're killing these tanks and I don't know, it's a fun game. It's a stupid story and all that junk, but it's a really fun game. So I finally did that. And my quick review of it, buy it. I'm giving it an 8 out of 10 because I think there's enough replay value there, and I think you can get it real cheap. You can get it for like 5-7 bucks now. I recommend getting it. I think it was a freebie on PlayStation Plus at one point, but you know, it's a good game, and I highly recommend it for just you know, an oddity type game. So there you go. All right. I think I got everybody, right? And we did our reviews. Let's move on to everybody's favorite segment.
Ah, what is it?
Stinko of the week.
All right, Breakman, your Stinko of the week.
Well, if you've been paying attention to the news, you know, there's been a trend lately. I shouldn't even say lately. You know what? The more I think about it, it's not even new. But in the last couple weeks, a bus driver raped a 14-year-old girl. Ugh. And another man held a woman, a 17-year-old girl, prisoner in a dog cage for about a year.
Ugh. Yeah.
Both those men were caught and prosecuted, and neither one of them serving jail time.
One of them, in fact, the one that raped the girl, doesn't even have to register as a sex offender. So,
and like they're saying the one guy had like 8 months in jail while he was waiting to be sentenced, and they counted that as his jail time. Like, this is the, are you kidding me? He kept a girl in a cage designed for small dogs.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, not only does she, and he raped her periodically, so not only does she have emotional and sexual problems, she also has physical problems from being kept in a cage.
Yeah, I think it's very clear, Breakman, and maybe you guys disagree with me, Eric, maybe you, I doubt it, but I think it's very clear that in this country in particular, women are second-class citizens still to this day, because if you look at the wage gap,
I think that's most countries.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just talking about this country in particular.
Right. I'm sorry. You're right.
No, it's okay. I think women really are considered second-class citizens in this country in particular. And I know other countries treat women worse, like Saudi Arabia, and we can go on and on. But the wage gap is still too big. Women are treated as sex objects for the most part. And the other thing I want to kind of talk about is the crimes that are committed against women are thought of as afterthoughts. And this blatantly makes it very obvious that we don't give a fuck about women in this country. I think that's what those two cases in particular kind of highlight, Breakman. And I don't know, do you guys disagree or what do you think?
No, sounds fair.
Yeah, it sounds about right to me.
And you know, the funny thing is women make up more than half of the population now, the last time I looked. So the future of this country is definitely with women. It's not with men. That's not to say that men don't play a role. We are every bit as, you know, people as women and et cetera, et cetera. So all the people saying that I'm hating on men, go fuck yourself. All right. Men have had it pretty fucking good in this country, especially if you are not a person of color. You've had it fairly decent in the country. So
and one of the things both these guys were said by the judge is like they were first time offenders.
So what?
Yeah, exactly. I don't fucking care if it's the first time you've put a girl in a cage and raped her repeatedly.
Yeah.
That's
so what?
One too many times.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not one for like super harsh penalties like the death penalty. I am adamantly against it. But I think something like 25 years for that particular crime and then 25 years or more for the other guy that is apt, even if it is a first fucking time. Now, if it's your first time getting caught, if it's your first time getting caught like smoking marijuana in a place where, you know, marijuana is illegal, there's where you can have some leniency.
I'm glad you said first time getting caught, because that's a point that I was going to make, that this is the first time these two pieces of shit were caught. Yeah. This doesn't mean these are the first girls that these two pieces of shit raped.
Right.
This
could
be
more.
The first time they've been caught.
Maybe it is the first time, Break, but the point stands.
I mean, maybe it is, but we don't know for sure.
No, we don't. And you know what? If that the one I'm thinking, the bus driver in particular, if he ends up doing it again, that's on that fucking judge, and that judge should fucking have to pay for that guy's fucking crime in addition to that guy. Let me mention in chat, we got some more chatters in chat. Apricot Droop Fruit, welcome in. Cog Whistle, Commander Root, Electrical Longboard, welcome back. Bernie's in chat. Joja1337, I know I probably fucked that up. Lurks is in there, and of course our good friend Dungeon Buster is in there. Welcome everybody into chat. Welcome to the Stinkos of the Week.
I promise Sonic we're going to talk about Sonic.
Yeah, we will. We will definitely talk about that. But no, I totally agree with you, Break. These guys are monsters, plain and simple. Like,
and I've heard a lot of like talk on the radios lately. Like, this is what I'm hearing from conservative people. Like, since the Kavanaugh thing, if women don't report immediately, like they shouldn't be believed.
Bull fucking shit, man.
If they report too early, then they'll be accused of something else.
That's the most ridiculous argument I've ever heard.
Yeah, that is really ridiculous.
I mean, seriously, like you're taking out emotional, physical, sexual abuse out of the equation. Like, what's been done to these women is horrifying. And these conservatives who want to like defend these judges and such are saying, well, they should go out and report immediately. Like, these women are fucking traumatized.
No, fucking way.
Usually you're not in a right state to do that.
You know, like, there are certain crimes I think.
And saying that, what about kids? Do you think the same thing about kids? If your kid doesn't, if a 5-year-old's getting molested by an adult, if he doesn't run up to another adult and say that one touched my no-no spot, you don't believe him now? Yeah. Is that what we're going with?
It's mind-boggling. Freak 5 says 2 hours till the con suite opens and the free booze flows. I might have to tweet lots of pictures to break. Go for it, Freak 5. We'll take them. Dungeon says the sentences from those two cases are the reasons why women don't report. That's a great point too, Dungeon. Here's the thing. I have been a big advocate of certain crimes not having statutes of limitations. I think certain things like murder, rape, sexual
child molestation, sexual tax fraud,
sexual deviance, like you know, like if you commit like an act of aggression against a man or a woman, tax fraud is another one. I think that's atrocious and should never have a statute of limitations, because people like Trump will get away with, especially if he gets reelected, he's going to get away with fucking everything. So white collar crime, there's certain things like embezzlement and stuff like that that really impacts and hurts a lot of people that should be prosecuted even more harshly than what they are. White collar crime hardly, it's almost non-existent in this country. If you commit some of those crimes, I mean, unless you steal from other rich people, you're never going to be prosecuted for that shit. So I think the statutes of limitations should stay open on a lot of things, especially when it harms a good number of people and when it's an egregious crime against a single individual or people that is really atrocious. Like, I don't know, rape is probably a big one. Raping's probably up there. So I don't know. Who's next? Oh, Eric. Unless you had anything else to add, Breakman, I'm sorry, I didn't mean
to. Well, as long as we're talking about pieces of shit, here's an alleged piece of shit. This is very disappointing and very saddening, but Jim Cummings has been accused of rape and animal abuse.
This is strange. I'm glad you said Jim Cummings is the voice of Winnie the Pooh. And lots of others.
Digger, Mickey Mouse, villain.
Like I knew the name. Like, it just didn't ring. Okay. Yeah.
And many, many other characters.
Yeah. I don't want to.
Basically, it's there's been a dispute with his ex-wife, and the claims of abuse are coming from her over the course of
10 years, I think.
From 2001 to 2011, and another instance in 2008.
Yeah, I don't really want to say anything until.
I mean, yeah, there's no trial, but a lot of stuff like this has been happening lately, and a lot of it's been turning out true. So
yeah, I'm gonna err on the side of caution, and I'm gonna believe it's true until proven otherwise, because we've seen. Time and time again. I mean, the Kavanaugh case for the Supreme Court. I mean, it's as obvious as anything, and you know, these guys get away with it. So I'm going to side with the woman on this until proven otherwise. I'm not going to make that mistake again. I did that way too many times. I try to give people the benefit of the doubt. Like for instance, Bill Cosby, when the first allegation came out, I was, you know, first in line to say, hey, let's wait and see. Huh.
And there's Morgan Freeman, and there's Neil deGrasse Tyson, and then there's the accusations of George K., which nothing much came of, but that doesn't mean he didn't do it. It just means I couldn't find anything.
Yeah. Certain ones ring really, really alarming to me, and this one is in that category.
Although something tells me in the case of Neil deGrasse Tyson, it was more his, like, his lack of self-awareness and maybe like a little bit of his autism kicking in, like him just being like super focused on something without regards to where he is.
Yeah.
But like, that doesn't mean he didn't do it. It just means that he wasn't sinister, but still.
Yeah. Freak 5 says, Wow. Okay. Freak 5 says, already saw one person wear the same outfit they worn every year for the last 20 plus years to this con. They probably should have quit wearing it 5 years ago. That's you looking in the mirror, Freak 5. So go home and change is what I'm going to say. No, I'm kidding. Bernie's still typing away on that. I'll have to read it after you get it all done. Let me know when it's all done, Bernie, and then I'll read your story.
This should have been like put in a document.
Yeah, it's okay. I'll get it later. All right, Eric, anything else you have for your stinker?
Oh, yeah. The Sonic movie reveal.
Okay.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Okay. I'm not with the rest of the crowd when it comes to the Sonic trailer, all right? I saw the Sonic trailer. I already knew people were going to be bitching about...
I mean, I've heard more evidence to suggest that, like... I mean, a lot of this sounds like it could have been avoided because the studio execs basically wanted to do a certain thing. Sega argued with them. They decided to do it ever anyways, and now they've got a negative reaction.
Any time the executives get involved with an IP like say Sonic, there's going to be issues. But here's the thing: other than the design of
but you've got the directors like trying to be apologists for it. It's like really.
Look, I looked at the trailer, and to be honest with you, I thought it looked fun.
There's no doubt about it. It looks, I mean, Jim Carrey is at the very least will save it from being completely miserable. But
Here's
Sonic look himself is the most jarring thing.
I agree.
What about the tweets that they released earlier a couple days, or was it yesterday or today, saying that they saw the complaints and they're going to do something?
Yeah, yeah. See, here's the thing.
Yeah, but now I'm like kind of upset about that because like they're probably going to make people work overtime.
Yeah, well, maybe. We don't know yet, Eric.
Well, these people screwed up in the first place, so yeah. I'm just saying.
But it's the executives, man. Those are the ones that fucking...
Even the creator of Sonic, like the actual illustrator for Sonic, was like worried because
Okay.
The biggest problem for me with Sonic is the way his teeth look. It's like, no. No, just get rid of his teeth. We can infer that he has teeth.
Yeah. I wasn't as hard on the trailer as everybody else. The design aside, I thought the design was okay. I mean, what are you going to do? Sonic's a fucking animated character from a fucking video game.
After what they did to the Transformers, I'm not surprised by anything like that Hollywood does to change a character.
Yeah.
The trailer... It's got me thinking the movie's gonna pull the Street Fighter where the characters just don't look like we're first of all, I'm upset with Dr. Robotnik being called Dr. Robotnik. His name's been Eggman for years. Why? It's like they looked at the manual for the Genesis game and just went with that.
Yeah. I actually think Jim Carrey was a great choice because he can carry a movie, especially a comedy. So
I think they may be building to him becoming Eggman. I think that's what they're like. He's Dr. Robotnik. He's the good guy at this point, and he's going to become Eggman.
Or the pseudonym that he's using to disguise himself.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, he's, like, full-on Eggman at the end of the trailer, but...
Yeah. I don't know. I like the
trailer. Dustbuster, that was not Yuji Naka. And Yuji Naka was the director of Sonic as a series. We're talking about the actual person who drew him. Yeah. Who's somebody completely different.
Okay, let me tell you my impressions of the trailer. I wasn't as outraged as everybody else. I like the trailer. I did not like the design with everybody else, but I figured, look, they're at least trying something. Sonic should have been on the big screen a long ass time ago. So they're trying to make it for, I guess they're trying to make it for a modern audience, but
they're trying to make it for the Fortnite kid audience.
Yeah, the design.
That hasn't played a Sonic game.
Here's the thing: the design wasn't cute enough. Like if you look at the Detective Pokemon trailers.
Dustin says there is a tweet from Naga, so that's what he saw. But I saw the other one from the actual person who drew him.
Okay.
Came up with the idea for Sonic.
Let me finish a thought here, Eric, because every time I try to finish a thought, I lose it. So I like the trailer. I did not like the design. The only thing that I thought that they should change really was the eyes, to be honest with you. Like they should make it look more like – there was a side-by-side with an artist rendition of the the game next to the design of the movie, and if they went with that, like made his belly a little bit less pronounced,
like even give him two eyes, just make it look more like the original design.
Yeah. Just with two, you know. So there you go. I don't know. It's just I
also,
liked it.
He clearly looks like a man in a suit, even though he's completely CG.
Yeah, I liked it. Other than the design, but I'm sure they'll work on that. Hopefully, you know, Tiger Claw made a good point. He said they ain't going to do a lot of major changes. They'll work on the face, but that's all they're going to have time for. So, I liked it. I thought it was energetic and fun and fast, and that's what you want. I mean, there's really not much of a story with Sonic. I mean, it's Sonic versus Robotnik or Eggman, and that's what you want to see in a Sonic fucking movie.
So the sequel, they could call it Sonic and Knuckles.
Yeah, that's the only thing I'm wondering.
It has to be better than some of the cartoon Sonics.
Yeah.
It's got to be better than
Double. It has to be.
It's got to be better than Double Dragon.
Okay, so Bernie's story was based...
That's the lowest bar you've ever set.
Bernie's story all leads up to... she knows an author, and the author has that story on Amazon for $2.99. The author's name is Autumn Greer. And the book is The Club, A Game of Choice. So it's basically a sex romp, it looks like. But it's intriguing. It's a story about, you know, having a chance to sexually, you know, express yourself. So it sounds cool. Give us a link, Bernie. I'll put that in the show notes later.
Raul Julia is the only thing that's Street Fighter bearable.
Yeah, I agree. Raul Julia is the only thing worth watching in Street Fighter for sure. It was a terrible movie with a great performance.
There's some funny one-liners in that movie. Yeah, like the writers, you could tell they didn't have much.
Like Van Damme, like Bison, I'll beat you so bad.
All right, I got a couple of doozies for my Stinko of the Week. The Senate did not override the Orange Idiot. He vetoed the war in Yemen resolution, the war resolution that both the House and Senate passed, mind you. And I don't understand. It passed the House and the Senate. The fucking president vetoes it, which would have been if he wouldn't have vetoed it, it would have been a great victory for peace, right? Because then we could have stopped the aid to the Saudis in Yemen, and maybe those people could have had some peace. Nope. Trump wouldn't
even if those people didn't have peace, we shouldn't be fucking around with it. We shouldn't be facilitating any like
right.
But we shouldn't be adding to what's already going on.
Yeah, Dungeon says Raul Julia is Bison for sure. Yeah, we shouldn't be the ones, right, Breakman? But the Orange Idiot, of course, did what I knew he was going to fucking do. He vetoed it because he's in with the fucking Saudis, just like every other fucking president that we've had. I don't know why the Saudis...
I've said many times the Saudi Arabians, people want to say, like, the Saudi Arabian government, as much as they want to think that they are not our friends.
They are not our friends, and neither is the Israeli government. The Israeli government's not our friends either. And
people are brainwashed into believing those kinds of things.
Right.
I don't understand.
It's all about money, dude. It's all about money. Oh. If we could get away from using oil, using fossil fuels, and just use clean energy like electricity for our fucking cars and even electricity for our planes and every fucking thing else, we would not be even thinking about this shit. Other people would be coming to us, begging us for help with renewable energy and shit like that. Reasons why China's economy is going to pass ours very, very shortly. Once they get the whole, you know, get rid of all the gas cars in their country and they start going to all electric, it's over for our economy. We're so far fucking behind right now that it's going to be hard to catch up. We're going to be left behind. I know we are. And that's sad because I want a future with all electric vehicles and, you know, modes of transportation and stuff like that, because
why don't we just move to China? Like, might as well.
Well, there's a little thing called communism over there that I don't like, but
that's like the only drawback.
Yeah, I agree. There's a lot of pluses over there, but the communism thing just doesn't work for me. I like to be able to get onto RP Grinders and say what I want to, which the way this country is headed, how long will grinders be around to be able to say what we
like
want?
Robert Boyd from Ziboid Games is living in Taiwan with his family.
Yeah,
I don't
know
why.
Well, Taiwan has a robust economy. That's why. Slagar's in chat. What's up, Slagar? Welcome on in. Okay, my second bitch for the week, my second stinko. Stephen Moore is a this is what I wrote. Stephen Moore is a bigot fucking asshole. And if people don't know who Stephen Moore is, look him up online. You will see what I mean. He joked about, Trump kicking a black family out of public housing when he won the election. He's been a big proponent of bitching about men's wages and how it's a problem when men's wages are dipping and women's wages are on the rise. So he's basically a misogynistic piece of fucking shit. And he was tapped by Trump to become part of the Federal Reserve, which kind of controls the ebb and flow of money in this country and sets rates and, you know, a bunch of other things. I'm boiling it down to its, you know, lowest, you know, common denominator. But so it should have kind of been a sweeto for me, too, because he ended up withdrawing and for good reason. He's a fucking asshole and a piece of shit. So that's my take on Stephen Moore. And I'm glad we'll never be talking about that piece of shit again. All right, let's move on to R.
I actually had another stinko.
Oh, did you have another stinko? I'm sorry.
Go ahead, I was going to say that to the death of Chewbacca.
Yeah.
Yeah, sad.
Yeah, it's sad. Sad.
Episode 9 killed him.
Yeah. I know he didn't. He hasn't portrayed. I think he did some parts in The Force Awakens, but he definitely didn't do anything in Last Jedi. Like, he passed the torch on to another guy who I can't remember his name right now.
Yeah.
But it's sad the original Chewbacca died.
74 seems kind of young to die for me. I don't know. I know it's older, but 74 is just. I think that's too young to die, man. Like, it just blows my mind, man. I mean, you never know when your time's coming. You know, it's just the way that it is. But, that's definitely a sad stinko. Anything else, Breakman? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
That's it. No, that's cool.
All right. On to...
Dude, what does my tattoo say?
Sweet! Sweet of the week!
Okay, Breakman, what is your sweeto of the week?
I don't really have one other than it's finally really springtime. You know, the weather's finally warm and not really cold anymore.
Yeah, I might as well ride your tailcoats on that, man. The weather here has been fucking awesome. We had a really short bout of snow. We had about a half inch to an inch about 3 days ago. And the weather's been like in the 70s since. So I think we're done with fucking bad weather.
Done with snow completely. Snow.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan. Bernie loves snow because she lived in fucking Arizona practically her whole life. And she's loving it. But I'm like, wait for a little while. You'll hate it. But so there you go.
Yeah, grow up with snow. You will hate it. I could go the rest of my life without seeing snow and be very happy.
Slagar's like, is that the public radio pledge drive? Phones in the back? Yeah, exactly, Slagar. Anytime you want to call in to donate, feel free, man. I'll take it, man. Sorry, guys. Since I've been in this house with my situation, it's I can't do anything about it. I can't unplug that phone, and yeah, I wished I could, man. But it'll change. I'm hoping to get some money here soon and get out on my own and things will be a lot better, but whatever. All right, Eric, do you have a sweeto of the week?
No, not really.
Okay. Let's move on. This is going to be
interesting. Wait, you don't have one?
I said it. I went off of yours. The weather here has been pretty awesome.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was the same. Okay, my bad.
Son of a bitch. How dare you?
I misunderstood. I'm sorry.
All right. Let's move on to... We actually have time to do...
It's a free-for-all! Little man! Yeah! It's a free-for-all!
Wow! Suck it! All right. This week's free-for-all, we've got a few topics, but let's start with Eric's first, because this has been kind of in the news with video games lately. industry crunch is what they're calling it, and this is the practice of basically working your workers to the grind, you know, putting their nose to the grind and making them work upwards of 100 hours a week, which I think is fucking atrocious. I don't care if they pay overtime.
Now that's epic for you doing the 100-hour work week.
Yeah.
Well, and companies that have BioWare magic.
Yeah.
Or any company that does a live service game.
That's
like Anthem.
That's a good point, Brake. I'm gonna start with that. Why do we call it BioWare magic when in reality
they do?
I know.
I'm just clarifying.
I know. I'm just saying we should never call it BioWare magic. We should call it BioWare slave driving, because that's what they do. And I know that they pay overtime and the checks are good, but it's been proven over and over again in multiple studies that the more a person works in a week, the less productive they are over a long period of time, or even a short period of time. If you work over 40 hours a week, you're doing it wrong, right? And any employer that basically – I've worked for companies like this where you don't have to work for overtime, but if you don't do it, you're looked down upon. And it could cost you your job at a certain point because you get written up for certain things. And I've had it happen to me where they say, well, it's mandatory on call. Like Comcast was the worst. I used to be a cable guy. Mm-hmm. And if they needed you, they would just say you have to work. And you could decline, but then, you know, you would get put in the worst areas to work, you know, the harder areas to work after that. Like, I know this game. I know this corporate game that people play, and it sucks. And there should be definite regulations on how many hours a person could work in a given week. And I think that cap should be firmly in the 50 hours or less. I think if you're doing anything over 40, I think it's going to affect you. Slager says he would gladly work overtime. And there are people like that, you know, they love working overtime because the money is good. And,
if they're voluntary. Like
if it's voluntary, I guess. But even then.
Another question I have is, how do they pay their people? Do they pay them hourly, or they do one of the most horrible tricks on the planet?
Contract.
Salary.
Yep. They do a lot of that. And
like, basically, you get paid $25,000 a year no matter what you do. And if you're on salary, they want you to work all the time. They want you to be there from open until close and then go home and still work on it.
Yeah, Dungeon Buster says, BioWare magic. It's crazy to think that kind of crunch at BioWare and hoping things would turn out great at the end became known as quote-unquote magic. Tells you what kind of cultural issues they had and still have over there, for sure. Slagar says, I would gladly work overtime. Fortunately, it's not allowed. I think that's a good thing, Slagar. I think it's a good thing for your mind and body, honestly. I know that the money would be great, and you know, you probably could you know.
I think sometimes, if you're doing sometimes, like maybe once every few years or something like that, why is that bad?
I didn't say it was bad. I didn't say people couldn't do it. I just said that if it's over a lengthy period of time,
if it's like quote unquote voluntary, in the sense that if you don't do it, it's like having a gun being put to your head, and then like Breakman said, that you're despised for not taking it.
Yeah. Let's see.
Or you're getting paid so little that you have to do it anyway.
Yeah, Dungeon said, I loved overtime. I took almost every opportunity when it was offered, especially over holidays or down periods. It was all voluntary too. See, that's the point. It was voluntary, and nobody would have thought less of you if you didn't do it, Dungeon. That's the whole point. But I know the way the corporate mindset is. I've been there. I've been in management. I've been a supervisor of a crew of people that put in telephone plant line in the entire city of Denver and its surrounding areas, the metropolitan area of Denver. And, you know, we had huge contracts that I dealt with. I dealt with city officials. I dealt with a lot of high ranking officials to get shit done. And there were times when you did offer overtime, but then there was always pressure, you know, you got to get this shit done within this certain time, and the overtime was there. Luckily, I had a crew of people that worked really hard and didn't mind it, but I knew that if I pushed those people to the limit, which I could have, it would have been awful. And
Frank was one of the Roman guards at Egypt.
How dare you? How dare you, Eric? The kind of overtime at game companies is not the kind of overtime I want, especially if it becomes a dick measuring contest on who matters at the company. That's how it always is, Dungeon. Almost always with a big company, with a big corporate company. I'm not talking to the small companies, you know, that people work hard at and love their companies, love their managers, love their supervisors. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the upper tier companies like Comcast, like EA, like all these other fucking corporate hack people that want to work you to the bone and give you very little reward. You know, my thing is pay everybody healthy and have a steady rotation of people. And I don't know what they don't get about that. It just boggles my mind. Let's see. How dare you, you son of a bitch, Breakman.
I don't know what you're referring to. What?
How dare you? How dare you? Some companies are like that, but not all. Depends on the culture. The corporate culture in this country is way twisted.
If you think the game crunching in the industry in the U.S. is bad, it's even worse in Japan.
Yeah, Japan is probably the worst offender.
But that's overall in Japan, though.
Yeah, overall in Japan, those people work to the bone. They hardly ever. That's why they're
There are hentais about women getting fucked by strangers because their husbands aren't there to satisfy their sexual urges.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's partially true. I mean, they do have that problem. Like, the birth rate in Japan is dipping, and it's a huge issue. It's a huge problem
I wonder why. I guess people are working too much.
They're even instituting things at certain companies in Japan where they give you an hour or two to go have sex with your partner. I mean, that's actually a thing in Japan.
I mean, that, and like they watch so much that tentacle porn. They're really confused.
How dare you? How dare
you? Oh, I'm sorry. My bad.
Yeah. Japan has different culture in the West, though. Different expectations.
It is a different culture, but different culture doesn't mean excuse.
Well, I agree. And different culture doesn't mean that we all aren't human. I mean, we all have the same DNA. We all, you know, there is a breaking point for every human. And Japan's reaching its breaking point, Dungeon. There's serious issues going on in Japan where people are having mental issues galore in Japan. It's a huge, huge problem. And that's I mean, it's getting to that point in this country.
It's only going to get worse if Abe gets reelected somehow.
Yeah, yeah. They have executives that take pay cuts if their company does bad. That's true. And I wish more of our executives would do that too. I wish there was a cap on our executive pay. Clear across the board. I really do. The capitalist notion of you know, getting up into the executive suite means that you make so many millions of dollars and it never caps is ridiculous to me. Like
I mean, talking about the culture of Japan, like Sakurai was getting he was working on the game when he had an IV stuck in his when he was in the hospital. So what the fuck are you doing,
man? Yeah, that's just ridiculous, man.
it's so bad that he thinks it's not a big deal. He's been wounded mentally.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on. We're gonna do a spoilerific Avengers review. So if you have not seen Avengers, now's the time to mute us for about maybe 5-10 minutes, because we're going to spoil the fuck out of Avengers. So this is your opportunity to either leave us for 10.
When do we start? Do we start talking about how they kill off every single Avenger right now, or when do we start?
How dare you?
We got to talk about the lube too.
Oh, the lube for sure, man. That was
a difficult scene to watch.
It really was, man. Hulk and Iron Man. Like I never knew Iron Man was willing to do that. I'm just saying. All right, so this is our spoilerific review of Avengers. I think we said a lot last week that was non-spoiler. Where do you want to start, Breakman?
What?
Where do you want to start with the Avengers?
Yeah. I don't know where we should start. Should we start from the beginning? Should we talk about what led up to this before?
Okay, so where we left off in Infinity War was half of the world.
Yeah, okay, we should definitely start with Infinity War.
Yeah,
okay.
Infinity War, half of the universe got snapped out, right? Dusted, as they say.
For people who didn't watch it and went, you know what, never mind.
Or as the movie called it, The Vanishing.
Yeah. So half of the world is just basically dusted out.
Not just the world, it's the entire universe. Like he snapped and killed every planet everywhere, like half the population.
Yeah. All right. So we're left with an Earth.
He transcended the place.
we're left with an Earth that's in turmoil and disarray. Basically, we saw Captain America basically leading a support group, which you can imagine the psychological effect of losing your loved ones in one fell swoop. It was a trying time for everybody. I mean, Black Panther was gone. Who else did we lose? We lost basically everybody that I didn't think we would lose.
Gamora,
Spider-Man. It just went on and on. There was like half of the fucking Marvel universe just gone, just like everybody else, right? So, but we were left with Captain America, Iron Man, Thor, the main Avengers, Rocket Raccoon, et cetera, et cetera. So you get the idea. So half of the people are now done, as far as we know. So the rest of the Avengers are left to pick up the pieces. Black Widow, I mentioned Thor. Iron Man's in space, and he's on his last legs with Nebula. And you want to take it from there, Breakman? Because, I can't remember all the details.
Raul, at that point, they're rescued by, I believe Captain Marvel was the one who saved them.
Yes.
Thank God she wasn't dusted, because she obviously is the strongest among them at this point. So let me see who's still alive. Hulk and Banner, we find out, have finally come to... I guess Banner came to an agreement with Hulk. Basically, he took over Hulk's body.
Yes.
Essentially.
Yes.
Using gamma radiation and experiments and stuff like that. So now he's the Professor Hulk type.
Yeah. Comic, yeah.
Which is basically he has the strength and all the abilities of Hulk, while the brain of Banner.
Yeah. I kind of have an issue with that. I like the Smash Hulk.
And later in the movie, like there's a scene where they for comedy and laughs and giggles and such, they play where look at old Hulk, where he's smashing and angry, and it's like yes, and then new Hulk comes in there and he can't even like muster up the excitement to pretend to be like that,
Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of, smash.
So the whole idea, the whole idea is to gather up the gems again, because they go and confront Thanos and they kick his ass pretty easily, right? Thor.
Well, did you talk about Ronan? I don't think you mentioned Ronan.
I didn't talk about Ronan. Ronan's interesting. Go ahead.
I think that was an important, talking about how everyone was dusted in the last movie.
Right.
People suddenly disappeared and stuff like that. They represented that really well at the very beginning with Hawkeye, who was out there teaching his daughter how to shoot archery, and he was having a picnic with his family, and all of a sudden they're just all gone.
Yeah, every one of them. His entire family got dusted except for him, which is interesting.
Which sent him down a pretty dark path of
almost thought he became Taskmaster because he was fighting people with a sword.
he became Ronin, alter ego Ronin, and he basically became kind of a mercenary.
Taskmaster would be an awesome villain, though.
He would be.
A villain who memorizes your every ability.
Yeah, Taskmaster. Yeah,
awesome.
Taskmaster, I always thought, would make a good villain for Captain America. I thought that would be a good villain for Captain
America. He still can, because there's still going to be a Captain America.
There is. We will talk about that later.
The one thing I didn't like about... I didn't like about a couple things about the movie, but I guess we can get that later. But the first thing I want to mention is... they went with the time travel plot, which time travel is always, it's an overdone trope, and
it's always problematic.
It's kind of a risky move because you usually don't follow your own rules, and this movie didn't kind of do that.
Well,
I don't care for the ending. Like the ending pays off.
They did a good job with time travel. There's always going to be problematic.
No matter what movie you see, you can always find some sort of hole in their time travel.
Some of the greatest movies ever, like Time Crimes, was a great fucking movie about time travel, and it still had problems. Triangle was another one. I don't know if you guys have ever seen Triangle, but that's a great time travel movie. even I know Hawkeye should be dead by now. Slingar says no.
No, he's pretty.
He's a great. Now he's a great character.
Batman. He just is really good at what he does.
Slagar, Hawkeye was awesome in this movie. He at first he was Ronin. Black Widow sees him basically murder a criminal, and you know that's kind of a whole backdrop for bringing Hawkeye back into the fold because they figure out a way to, or at least they hope that if they gather up all the Infinity Stones,
before you go ahead and spoil that, there was a character that had been missing for a long time, and if you saw the Ant-Man and the Wasp, you know at the very end of that movie, well, Scott was trapped in the quantum realm.
Yeah, Ant-Man. Yep.
And one of the things that happens at the beginning of this movie is he escapes the quantum realm.
Because for him, it's only
for him it's only been 5 hours, but you know for everybody else it's been 5 years.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute! I skipped the whole. I'm sorry. I skipped a bunch of stuff, didn't I? Because before even that, they teamed up to get like the everybody who was still alive.
Yeah. They kind of went to kill Thanos, and there was no point, really. Because Thanos had destroyed the stones.
Which is why they had to go back in time in the first place, because of him destroying the stones, I forgot.
Yeah.
Which that's... also, we made bets on who was going to die. We all picked three of them, and I got two of them right. But since the one character I picked died twice, I think I got three of them.
How dare you?
Since they killed Thanos twice, and... Both times I wanted to cheer and pump my fist and everything was amazing.
Thanos was I hope Thanos comes back because he's a great fucking villain. He is by far my favorite.
I think it was like one thing I didn't like about Infinity War is how they just like rewrote Thanos' character because they hinted in Avengers at the end of the sequence of the Stinger that he was a guy who was obsessed with death who was
that's the only
they made him this
That's the
conservative idiot.
That's the only
who
major.
Who was he talking? But in this movie, he mentioned somebody else was obsessed with death.
I don't know, but they really fucked that part of it up.
When he was talking to Nebula and Gamora and all them,
I'd have to watch it again.
I do have to see it again. Was it Ronan that he was talking about at the point?
Yeah.
I don't know, but they really dropped the ball on that.
I agree. I'm just saying, They kind of changed that narrative because
it was only amplified in the scene where he has had to sacrifice Gamora to the monolith thing to get the Soul Stone. It's like really you tricked the Soul Stone, but you really liked this woman and raised her as your daughter, and despite the fact that you sacrificed her, which would make me normally think that you don't actually care about her and you're just trying to trick a really terrible security system.
Well, part of the
trying to make me sympathize you, but you're actually just a gigantic piece of shit who's deluded.
Well, that's right, that makes for a great villain.
Part of the backstory of him is that raising Gamora and Nebula is he pitted them against himself and he always favored Gamora.
Yeah. Yeah, that was
since he met Gamora, he always kind of liked her more. So it's understandable that he loved Gamora.
Yeah, I get that. But I agree with Eric. I think the death angle would have been much better, and they hinted at that too. Like they
not the whole lady death thing. That him just being a piece of shit that was to destroy everything would have been preferable to what we got instead.
Well, I don't know, man. I kind
of
like
because I think it's kind of dumb of a plot. It's equally dumb of a plot to have him want to bone the personification of death.
No, I disagree. If you read the comics, man, they did it really, really. It wasn't about
that. The movie wouldn't have had time to do that properly. So,
They should have did it.
Well, we've talked about that, and I think we all agreed. Even though I love how this movie was, it wrapped everything up, and I felt it was a lot tighter than Infinity Wars.
Yeah, I liked Infinity.
Still, could have been like four different movies.
Yeah, I agree.
There was so much plot that they kind of condensed.
Look,
back to another thing I didn't like about the movie is that they kind of ignored like trying to bring Vision back. They could have like done something to like restore the functionality of the AI that was.
Yeah, that's just the point. They can always bring Vision back later. Like that, he was never a real sentient being.
I mean, Paul Bettany was in the movie, but he was as Jarvis, the actual Jarvis.
Yeah, it's just like what's his name? Ultron in Avengers Age of Ultron. Ultron's going to survive because Ultron isn't really sentient, right? He's just a fucking AI, pretty much, like a wicked AI.
He was the remains of Jarvis's code after Jarvis's code got screwed up.
Yeah, he's a little different in the comics. I think it was Hank Pym that created Ultron in the comics, if I'm not mistaken. But okay.
Another thing I didn't like was Captain Marvel. This has more to do with Captain Marvel itself, but it being an extension of what happened in Captain Marvel. But the way her character is written, Carol Danvers is not all that interesting. And I think, like, in Disney's efforts to make her more squeaky clean and get rid of the problems she has with alcoholism, they've made her kind of like this stoic Superman character who's just not interesting.
Okay, well, I got something to say to that, Eric. You gotta give it some time, dude, because
they could have improved on it in this movie, and they didn't because she barely has any screen time.
Eric, look, they had, what, over 60 fucking characters that they had to squeeze into this movie.
Yeah. And maybe that's part of the Avengers problem, though. There was too much.
No, hold on. I thought they handled it well. Like, Captain Marvel barely had her fucking origin movie before we went into...
Maybe if they had, like,
Eric,
a third movie or something, they could have...
Hold on, Eric. Just relax, dude. I'll let you talk, I promise. They have ample time to give Danvers her due, right? In the Captain Marvel movie, they basically set her up and said, here she is, she's pretty powerful. And in Endgame, they gave her everything that we needed from her, right? Her superiority, as far as, like, powers go, I think there was even a line with Thor where he's like, I like this one, like, you know, kind of acceptance, you know? So I'm expecting more from her story arc in the coming movies. There's obviously going to be a sequel to Captain Marvel. We'll see more of Carol as we go on. Like, you can't...
Slager's saying when the last 20 years is super interesting. Super interesting. That's what my point was. Like, Superman isn't interesting.
I think he is.
And they made her a Superman character, which is terrible in my opinion.
No, I disagree. I think you've got to set the tone for how strong she is. And right now, as we know, she's probably the strongest. I happen to think that Hulk is the strongest. I've always thought that the Hulk was the strongest Marvel character. And especially now that he's super smart and has the same ability. But, you have to establish, like, the powers, and then you can deal, like, even Iron
what
Man.
What I want to know is with Captain Marvel, like, if they do a sequel, when they do the sequel, if it's going to be about her getting binary powers and being more powerful.
Yeah, well, maybe. I mean, they could always do something with Black Bolt and the Inhumans. I know they had that stupid series, but they could always bring them into a movie. And Black Bolt is fucking awesome, man. I don't care what anybody says.
After that series, I'm like, no.
If they do it right.
This isn't a complaint, but I do have wonders about what they're going to do with Black Widow since she's, like, dead now.
Okay, well, let's move along here. So basically the idea is go back, get the Infinity Stones, you know, at a certain point where they know the Infinity Stones is going to be, you know, there, and put them all together and then use the snap to redo everything and then basically put those gems back in the same exact spot so that way they don't fuck up any other timelines but their own, right? So the plan goes pretty much to plan, I guess.
No.
Hold on.
They fucked up.
Hold
in
on.
Room for, like, movies based on that universe alone now.
Okay. You didn't let me finish, Eric, and I'm going to try to finish this sentence without interruption. How dare you, Breakman? How dare you? Okay. It goes pretty much to plan, except for one team. They send, teams of two to go, go get the gems at certain places. So they send...
Yeah, it goes wrong for multiple teams.
Okay. For the most part, it goes fucking right because at the end of the movie, they succeed, right? I mean, that's...
I'm right, but I'm saying...
Okay.
It never goes happy for anybody, I don't think.
Yeah, because, like, Loki ran off.
Well, let him...
You're not going to let me... If you want to explain it, Eric, feel free. If you want to give the summary, I mean, you might do a better job than I. But basically, who is it? Captain America and... Who was it? Captain America and somebody else.
It's Iron Buddy.
Is Iron Man and Captain America?
And Ant-Man.
Oh, okay. So it's Ant-Man and Captain America go to get the Tesseract, basically.
And Iron Man.
Okay, so it's those three. Which...
And wait, and I think and the Hulk went with them too because he went to get the time stone.
Yeah, because they determined that there are three stones in New York City at the same exact time. Right. I think that's what it was. So right. Ronan and Black Widow go back to get the Soul Stone, which everybody knows you need to sacrifice. So one you knew right away one of those ones was going to get it. I had a feeling it was going to be Ronan, and everybody probably wouldn't have shed a tear for that. But
there's one thing I need to say, but like they should have made a joke about Ronan's hair and just called him Moloch. Hi.
All right, hi. So all the teams are dispersed to get all the stones, right? And Hulk is dispersed to go get the Time Stone, right? I think. That's the stone.
That, I'm pretty sure the Time Stone's what.
And he knows that the Great One or the Old One or whatever they call her.
Sorcerer Supreme.
Yeah. So over where Doctor Strange is, whatever they call it, the sanatorium or whatever the fuck that place is. And the Great One is there. What's the actress's name? I can't remember her fucking name for the life of me.
Oh,
she's really good.
Shit.
She's really good. But anyways.
Yeah. She does a lot of androgynous characters.
She's really good. She's really fucking good. She's a great actress. But anyways, she ends up basically punching Hulk and getting Banner. That, you know, because it's like two people in one, Banner and Hulk, and Banner has to basically talk her into giving him the gem, and it was an interesting like exchange with those two. You know, you had Banner like basically begging for the stone, and she's saying, "I ain't gonna fucking give you the stone because if I do that, this whole fucking my timeline will get fucked." And that's not the way it goes.
Cate Blanchett equal the Ancient One.
It's not Cate Blanchett. It's. I can't remember her fucking name. She's a huge actress. She was in Suspiria. She was in a bunch of stuff. No, Dungeon, it's not Cate Blanchett. It's, man, I can't remember her name. But anyways, finally Hulk convinces her because, you know, he gives her, you know, a bulb goes off and basically says, if you can do this, you will save everybody's timeline if you can, you know, blah, 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 and come back. And
also,
you know,
he mentioned that, that Doctor Strange had a plan of some sort.
Yeah. Tilda Swinton. That's who it is, Breakman. Yes. Slagar says, as a complete Doctor Who fan, I cannot support the use of time travel in this setting. It's a if you just don't think about it, Slagar, it really worked in this movie. It was a fantastic movie, man. Like from top to bottom.
I mean, it works better than the time travel in Back to the Future, which they slam.
Yeah.
Movie.
Yeah, and they also made a really funny joke about Captain America's ass, which I thought was great.
That is America's ass.
That is America's ass. So, yeah. So basically, the plan basically comes together, except for Loki takes the Tesseract and he disappears into a fucking portal, and that's one
which is awesome because
spinoff universe.
Yeah. Who doesn't
cinematic universe?
Who doesn't want to see Loki fucking with time?
Oh yeah, no, that for sure is going to be great. And that's
fuck with time with Deadpool.
How much?
So they could do that now. I mean, they bought Fox.
Cate Blanchett is fucking hot, no question about that. But yeah, I mean, how cool is it going to be if they start off that Loki series with him like portaling into a different, you know, kind of time period?
I think the answer is more mundane. I think he just went back to Asgard, and then Thor catches up with him, and then it goes on as usual.
Well there is going to be a Loki series. Which one did he steal? I can't remember which one.
I thought he got the Tesseract.
Stole the Tesseract, so yeah. That was the Reality Stone.
Yeah, the Reality Stone. So there.
Well, then he wouldn't be able to time travel if it's so he'd be still in that time period.
Yeah.
Well, he did some portaling. I don't know, whatever the fuck Loki did,
well,
he did
yeah,
some portaling.
He can portal in and out of places. Yeah. Like, he can't travel to Asgard though without the Rainbow Bridge, so he portaled somewhere else within
New York.
Yeah. Well, anyways, so the plan basically comes to fruition, except for when Black Widow and Ronan are trying to get the Soul Stone. They know one of them has to sacrifice, and basically it's a big pissing contest as to which one's going to throw themselves over the edge and get the stone, a la what Thanos did with Gamora, right? So in the end, it ends up being Black Widow sacrifices herself, even though Ronan threw himself over the edge and she basically caught him. And she's like, nope, it's going to be me. And so it ends up being her. They get the stones back, right? And in the meantime, the Guardians of the Galaxy, God damn it, I'm getting so many things mixed up in my head. Help me out, guys.
I know, there was, like, this is what happens with a movie.
Yeah, you're not wrong. They went to the time when that was going on, and they go after the other stone.
Yeah, they get...
Nebula and who went after Quill.
It wasn't
Who was with Nebula? It was
Falcon.
Was it
Falcon was dusted.
No. Falcon was not there. Who was it? It was a team of 3-2, I think. Two of them stayed and
it was two and two cuz they went four of them and two of them went to get the Soul Stone, which was, you know,
it was Nebula Black and Widow someone else and they
Ronan,
oh,
but
yeah.
Nebula, oh yeah, I mean not Falcon, I mean War Machine, sorry.
War Machine.
Yes, thank you. Okay,
so they
yes.
basically warp back to when Star-Lord was going to go get that stone and they knock his ass out and they get the stone, and that's how Thanos kind of figured out that the plan. Right, so Thanos
he sort of hacked her brain because Nebula was in the same timeline and her brain was networked.
Yep,
they Thanos also was able stole to... her pimp particle and reverse engineered it to make the ship be able to do the same thing.
Yeah, so basically Thanos
decided... why they end up in the present.
Yeah, Thanos figures it out. And he's like, all right, I'll just go to fucking Avengers Tower and basically blast the whole fucking thing.
When even though he saw what the future was going to be, his ego drove him to, you know, I can get all of them at once and let's do this sooner. Like, though he already knew in the future that he'd win.
Right. So,
and essentially his ego is what kills him.
Yeah. So the Avengers basically think they won. Thanos blasts the Avengers Tower. Everybody gets fucked up pretty much. And Ronan ends up, I don't know how, somehow Ronan ends up with the fucking Infinity Gauntlet, right? Because it becomes an all-out war. Everybody basically warps to where, because who snapped? I think it was Hulk.
It was the Hulk who snapped first because he was the strongest. He brought everybody back.
Yep, and he got fucked up.
Once they built their own Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah.
Then they all played hot potato for a while.
Yeah. Hulk snapped.
To keep it away from Thanos.
Hulk snapped because he figured he was the strongest, and there was a reference to like gamma rays and how that might protect him, et cetera, et cetera. So he snaps.
And at the end of the movie, he was still wounded from it.
Yeah, so everybody...
when the credits roll, he was still in a sling.
Which I think is weird because he has like ungodly regenerative powers. Like he should have already been, you know, healed up. But anyways.
Well, maybe he just neglected to take them off. I don't know.
I don't know. But anyways, so they basically play hot potato. Ronan was wicked when he was, you know, going around like avoiding everybody with the gauntlet. Which another thing I didn't understand, how did none of them actually touch the stones? Because if you touch those fucking stones, like that's
you get fried.
Yeah, you get fried. That's one thing I didn't understand, but whatever.
Yeah, I don't either. We'll have to. This is one of those movies that you have to watch several times.
Yeah,
because there's just so much going on.
I was kind of hoping Adam Warlock would show up, but that would make it three movies. So maybe him being not a part of the story here.
That was one disappointment that I did have.
The Adam Warlock is going to be a bigger story because you got him. You got both. Versions of him. You've got his good version and he's got his evil version, so they have to establish him as a good guy before they make him evil first.
Slagar says, was Hulk walking down that road at the end? No. Nobody. They referenced that walk. I know what he's talking about in the comic books. Like, they showed Thanos.
He's talking about the TV show, The Hulk.
Oh.
With the sad walk away music.
No, that's not Hulk, though. That's Banner walking down the road with that sad song. But, alright. So, anyways, Tony Stark ends up with the – to make a long story short because we got to hurry it up here. Tony Stark ends up with the Infinity Gauntlet, snaps, and ends up sacrificing himself. So,
because of how much damage it did. But his snap was – he dusted all of Thanos' army.
And Thanos
himself. But it was just so satisfying after everything Thanos had done, like – basically his celebration and wine and go off into the farm and sit and watch the sunset and stuff. It was satisfying to watch him defeated, like all his bluster and all his ego. He was just circling around him and watching everything that he'd done and everything he planned disappear around him.
Yep. And he was the last one to see it.
Completely speechless.
Yep. He was the last one to see it.
I mean, really, for the first time, he was completely speechless.
Yep. He was the last one to see all of that happen, which I thought was really good. He's a great villain. I hope they bring him back because there's so much they could do with Thanos. I hope they do the death angle at some point. I think there's a lot to be tapped into there. But now the question is, here's a couple of other things. The epilogue is pretty significant too, because Captain America, when he goes back, he decides to stay because he wants to have a life with
Peggy.
And
this is one of my favorite – this may be my favorite movie ending of all time.
It's great.
Because of this.
Yeah,
it's great. Because this has been building up for a long time. For anybody who saw the original Captain America movie,
it
had a sad ending. It really did. Like this two lovers who will never be together and then – if you watch the Agent Carter show, you see her trying to live without him, basically.
Yeah.
And it's sad moments because she, you know, like they were meant to be together.
Yeah, yeah.
So for them two to finally find a way to be together was just even though there were death, there were sacrifices, it was still like such a happy ending just to see them two.
Yeah.
Finally get the kiss.
You know what's funny? He's Mr. Rogers.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, so basically Captain America decides to stay back and have a life with Peggy Carter, even though it's been only, what, like 5 seconds or 10 seconds since he went back.
To them, he went back to maybe 1970 was the year when he saw her. So 1970 would make sense.
Yeah.
Stone was. So he couldn't have gone anywhere after that.
Yeah, Bernie said she cried and it was amazing. It was definitely really, really great.
I smiled, like, cuz I felt this feeling of satisfaction watching it. Like, it's like, oh man, like these two, you wanted Captain America for all he has sacrificed to be happy, and for them, instead of killing him, to give him a happy ending was amazing.
Excuse me?
I didn't
see no happy ending. I mean, maybe you saw a different, maybe you saw the porn parody of the...
not that kind of happy ending.
Oh, okay, yeah. Sorry. But
you know what I mean? Like, it was just... We all expected Captain America to die, didn't we? I did.
Slagar says he's not a fan of Captain. How dare you? You're not a fan of America, then, Slagar. How dare you?
But all of us going into this.
Wait, not a fan of Captain America, or not a fan of Chris Evans? I can understand not being a fan of Chris Evans.
Yeah. Instead, they give him a happy ending, which was just incredible.
Yeah, he goes, "You going to tell me who she was? No, the dungeon." Yeah, that was a great line.
I don't think I will.
Yeah, but anyways. So Captain America passes.
So Falcon is the new Captain America.
I was just about ready to say
showing up in the future after he's grown old.
Yeah.
He and that great scene where he's sitting on the bench, like just waiting, like Forrest Gump. he'd been apparently waiting there the whole time.
Yeah.
And they finally notice him and go over and he passes the torch on, you know, the guy who's most worthy, which is Sam.
Speaking of most worthy.
What's that?
I thought Bucky was going to end up with it for some reason, but it ended up being Falcon.
No, Sam was the one who was worthy. Yeah, and that is America's butt. But I was going to say, speaking of worthy, we finally got the going back to the Avengers 2, there was a scene where, at the beginning of the movie, where they're all fooling around with Mjolnir.
Yeah.
And it shaked a little when Captain America touched it.
Yep.
And I watched somebody was showing they're pointing out like things that are kind of leading up to this. If you watch Thor during that scene, he was laughing and joking and making fun of everybody, what was going on. And as soon as Captain America stepped up to it, the smile on his face disappeared.
Yep, because he knew. I mean, Captain America
was
always
like
worthy.
Like you said in this movie, I knew it.
He wasn't worthy right at that moment, but he was definitely worthy when he picked up, which I thought was a great moment, when he picked up Mjolnir and started whipping ass with Mjolnir.
Also, speaking of Thor... That beer gut, man.
Oh, the beer gut, man. We didn't even get into that, but we don't even have time to talk about that. But that was great. I thought that was really good. I thought that was ballsy of Hemsworth to kind of, you know, play the whole movie.
Oh, my God. Please, please make Asgardians of the Galaxy, fucking please.
They are. The third part's going to have Thor in it, no doubt.
I know, but like, they need to rename it Asgardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Asgardians.
And Thor is the new leader of the Guardians of the Galaxy. I don't think there's any question.
That interaction was great.
Yeah. That's going to be a great movie. I can't wait for that one, man. But anyways, that leads us to the future. The new Avengers. Who are the new Avengers? The new Avengers are going to be Falcon. I'm thinking Spider-Man, because that's the link to Iron Man. Who else? Who else do we have? Oh, Thor. But Thor's with the Guardians of the Galaxy, so he's not going to be part of the Avengers. Who else is going to be worthy of an Avenger mantle?
Right now we have Ant-Man, we have Spider-Man, Ant-Man War Machine sure. still around.
War Machine.
Falcon, obviously, is new Captain America.
Yeah. Whoever's going to be Wolverine should show up.
I know, Wolverine, man. We need the X-Men in this fucking world, man. And I hoped so bad to see some sort of reference to the X-Men in this movie. It was a faint hope, but, you know, whatever. But I thought it was a great ending to 10 years worth of fantastic movies for the most part. Even Dark World gets a lot of shit, but I have a spot in the whole grand scheme of things for even movies like that.
But I do want to wondering what's going on with Black Widow. So like, if they're gonna give her a movie, then like obviously she comes back somehow.
No. It's a prequel. Oh. It's a prequel. They're gonna show her origin and maybe some of her adventures.
They've said, really, like Frank just said, they're going to explain her origin.
She's done, man. Black Widow is absolutely done. I mean, that's, you know, other than that movie, there's going to be no more Black Widow. Unless they pull a total comic book move and bring her back, which...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Have her ascend to Valhalla, and then, like, she gets granted to life again somehow.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, there's all kinds of shit that they can do.
She becomes Lady Thor.
Yeah. Well... That's another question. Who's going to be the Lady Thor? That's, you know, that's always been kind of up in the air.
They still need to bring back Lady Sif. Jeez.
Yeah, Sif needs to come. I mean, there's all kinds of shit that needs to come.
They kind of just, like, had Sif in the first half of the second movie and then no more.
Yeah,
like,
see, Dungeon even said Hulk tried and he couldn't do it. I mean, even with the all-encompassing gauntlet, he couldn't bring Black Widow back.
And so. I actually, you know what, come to think of it, with the fight with Thanos, we should actually... Shouldn't we consider the Scarlet Witch to be the strongest?
No.
She was about to kill Thanos.
No,
by herself.
No, it's got to be Captain Marvel, man. I mean, Captain.
I don't know. Like, she had a great fight against him, but the Scarlet Witch was about to kill Thanos.
Scarlet
by
Witch
herself.
I'm interested in that series too, because that's going to be fucking badass. There's so much going on, man.
If she didn't get hit by a cannon blast from his own ship. Which he decided to fire on himself.
Yeah.
She was about to kill Thanos.
Yeah. All right. We didn't get a chance to go over the summer movie preview, so maybe we'll do that next week. But kind of a teaser, what is the number one movie you're looking forward to this summer? I'll start with you, Eric.
Movies in the summer.
Yes.
I don't know what's coming out.
I know what your favorite movie this summer is going to be, Eric. It's going to be Dark Phoenix, right?
No.
And I know...
If my favorite, you mean like Dark Dragon Age 2 favorite, you know?
Yeah, no.
Favorite to hate and poop on. Maybe,
if I had to guess Breakman's, I'd say Hobbs and Shaw, the Fast and the Furious.
Yeah, I'll go with that because I don't actually know what else is coming out in the summer.
Okay, I'll give you a quick rundown. I'll just give you 15 quick ones. Godzilla... Rocket Man, Dark Phoenix.
Godzilla's in May, though, so it's not really summer.
No, it's a summer movie.
It's the end of May, technically. It's a summer movie. It's in the spring, but they consider it a
movie. It's a summer movie.
Right now, they're considering everything in May to be a summer movie.
Okay, so here we go. Late Night, Men in Black International, Child's Play, Toy Story 4, Yesterday, which is an interesting concept.
Fuck that movie.
What, Yesterday?
No, Toy Story 4.
No, I like Toy Story.
They finished the storyline.
I don't want
to
hear any spoilers of the third one. I still haven't seen the third one.
How dare you? Oh, you have not seen Toy Story 3. You are immediately exiled, you son of a bitch. Spider-Man Far From Home.
Hold on. Spider-Man's the one I want to see the most.
Okay, hold on. Lion King. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Fast and Furious presents Hobbs and Shaw. The New Mutants, which is actually looks pretty good to me. It's a horror version of X-Men, basically.
Oh, wait, that's coming out?
Yeah, it's coming out August 2nd. Midsummer, which I don't know much about. Good Boys, and that's about it. So of those ones that I mentioned, which one are you looking forward to, Break?
Spider-Man and Godzilla. Those are the two I care about.
Yeah,
Spider-Man, same.
I'm in agreement, except I'm going to throw in Child's Play because I think the concept is actually really fucking great for the new Child's Play to bring it updated. Instead of being a possessed doll, it's basically going to be a AI go awry type situation, which I think is a fantastic idea for that. And Mark Hamill's doing the voice of Chucky, which is fucking great. So, yeah, there you go. That we'll do a more in-depth analysis next week on that, but we kind of ran out of time. I think it's time to do our plugs. Breakman, your plugs, sir.
You can follow me at break underscore man and at what was that other thing?
Yeah, make
what
sure
are we
to,
talking about?
Make sure to call him because that's what he said. Call
yeah, him. We need more. I need more advice questions,
dear
to
Breakman.
Answer. Like I. Again, more Dear Breakman. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
At RP Grinders.
I need to solve your relationship problems.
Yeah, make sure you do that at RP Grinders on Twitter. Oh, John Wick 3 later this month, Dungeon. I cannot fucking wait for John Wick 3. It looks fucking
awesome.
I mean,
if you find out your spouse is cheating on you and stuff like that, like, I can help you. I can solve your problems.
You should have helped me about maybe. You could have helped me about.
You just got to give Breakman some beer.
Cheating, huh?
I would have suggested you buy ammo.
I should have a gun.
I should have asked you that advice like 3 years ago, Breakman. But all right, Eric, your plugs, please.
I'll plug sites I've written for, like BostonBashBrigade.com. I got a review of Legend of Heroes, Trails of Cold Steel for PS4. And it's more of an impressions, but there are links to my previous coverage of the PC report and the original game.
All right.
So you could check those out first and then come back to the impressions. And then I kind of want to see Aladdin, but I kind of want to just wait for a red box for
looks
that
okay.
One.
It looks okay. I don't have any problems with the live action version. Anything else, Eric?
But,
he said no one wants to see Aladdin. I kind of do want to see Aladdin. I love Will Smith.
I got a morbid curiosity how weird they're going to fuck it up. But
they're not
my biggest problem with it is he's stepping into an iconic role. Like, that was probably Robin Williams' best role.
Yeah.
As the genie.
Okay, Eric, let's hurry it up here because I got the turtles.
Also, I've got a TotallyGN.com, VogNetwork.com, and HonestGamers.com, and you like what you've written, what I've written, and you want to support me and see more reviews, even as little as a dollar on my Patreon page would help. And you can go there through my link on my Twitter account at EricRPG, and I'll have the link in the description if you don't use Twitter.
All right. Anything
else? And I'll plug Slager's account on Twitter at Slager.
There you go.
S-L-E-G-A-R.
Yeah, follow Slager. He's a good follow. All right, my plugs are as follows. You can follow me on Twitter at Frank Branches. My gamer tag on all the systems is RP Grinder. So if you want to add me, go ahead and add me, and I'll get to it eventually. I'm mostly on PS4 though, so if there's a delay in me friending you on any of the systems, just hit me up on Twitter, and I'll fire up said system and get you on there. Thanks to everybody in chat: Apricot, Droop Fruit, Cog Whistle, Commander Root, Electrical Longboard, Feel the Bernie 18, Joja 1337, Lurks, Police, I think is what he or she is trying to say. Our good friends Dungeon Buster and Slagar, thank you all for joining chat. We really super appreciate it. No Grinder
Wait,
Dan.
Wait, hold on. Dungeon Buster said there's going to be a Rambo 5?
Yes, and it's looking good. And I liked the last Rambo. It was really good.
I never saw the last one.
Oh, it's good, man. It's really good.
The last Rambo I saw, he fought
didn't
a helicopter with
Rambo,
his
though.
And then they rammed into each other.
Yeah. It's called Last Blood. It's called Last Blood, and it's going to be good. Yeah, it's going to be good.
But the new one, what was the last one called?
Just Rambo. It was just, and it was good. It was really bloody and violent, but really good.
So they did the Black Bullet thing, so they just called Rocky Six Palpole.
Okay. Thanks everybody for joining the chat. You know, really, really appreciate it. We do a live show every Friday, 7 Eastern time. No GDP tonight. I'm going to wait till next week. I think that's when everybody's going to be here for GDP. A lot of people are out doing cons and other type cool shit. So we'll do that next week. All right. That's about all I got for this week. Thanks everybody for joining. If you're joining us on the archives, we do it live every Friday, 7 Eastern time. Join the chat. It's always fun on Twitch and on YouTube, but mostly Twitch. And thank you guys so much for joining. Anything else, guys?
But Expendables, were they any good?
I liked them. They were fun.
We did a movie night with the first Expendables.
Yeah, just the first one. I never saw two or three.
Yeah, they're fun. Yeah. They're fun movies. All right. Thank you guys so much for joining. Stay safe this weekend. We want to see you back here next week. Until then, we are out.
If you don't think we won't talk to the ending, you'll never listen to the show. Somebody else said something.
The dulcet tones of Breakman.
Somebody said they got a poop. Thanks for sharing.
You pooped today.
I did poop today, but I'm going to poop again.
Right after the show ends? Is that what's going on? that's how you celebrate a finished show with a shit?
How dare you? I got to upload the episode
tomorrow. How dare you?